9:31 as we welcome you back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5. The game, we are live this morning. Jack Daniels Barrel House, Bridgestone Arena, the Predators and the Penguins coming up this evening. We will talk to Hal Gill in just a moment. The Big Finish coming up at 9:45. Are you in scoreboard watching mode right now? Because I feel like for the last 10 days or so, every time I've done my homework and gotten ready for a certain game for the Preds, I always look to see who Winnipeg plays. And I'm like, okay, they play Vegas. Yeah. That's a good thing.
Yeah, and what's funny is the players will admit that they are all doing it. Every single day they wake up, they get up, and checking the point totals and the scoreboards and the matchups, it's all 100% part of their routine. And I think it's fine. I think it's great that they just say openly, yeah, we look at it. Because then it means we don't have to ask them, hey, do you watch the scoreboard? Like, we just know they all do because it matters.
We welcome in Skillsy, Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst. Hal, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing good. So we're down to single digits in the regular season. We were just discussing scoreboard watching. If you're a Preds fan, if you're a Preds player, keeping an eye on what Winnipeg is doing. When you were a player, was that something that you did? And how difficult is it to kind of block out the opponent and what they're doing and just handle your own business?
Well, I guess it comes down to being a pro. You kind of have to know what you need to do to get where you need to go. So in the end, I was always watching. You know, you're always paying attention to what teams are doing, if they're moving ahead, if they're coming at you, if you know where they're standing. But in the end, you know, it's really what you do, and you know, it's a nice position to have it in under your control. You know, if you can win your games and get in, then that's what you're ultimately worried about.
So I don't think fans should be buying into what they've seen in just a three-game span. If they play well against Pittsburgh and Winnipeg, I think you could start to buy in to, you know, 7 out of 9 and 5 straight, and they're playing some really good hockey. What have you seen from some of the reasons that's going to happen are some of these peripheral pieces and new pieces? Kyle Turris back on the ice, active, not incredibly productive, but active. Wayne Simmonds breaks through. Brian Boyle's been great. Mikael Granlund, what have you seen? Are you seeing things over the last three games that tell you – that these guys are figuring it out, coming together, and are on the verge of something here?
Yeah, it sounds crazy, but I'm not. I was never really worried about those guys getting in. You know, you worry about the chemistry and who they're going to play with, but I wasn't worried about their production. I'm still not worried about Kyle Turris's production. I know it's been a tough year for him, but I think he's got it. What I was a little concerned about, and what I'm really happy to see last three games, is the defensive side of the game for the Preds has been really good. You take a team to play against, and you play really well defensively against them. And then that Toronto team is high-powered offense, and the Preds look really good. I mean, Pekka had to make some I don't even know how he made that save, but I thought defensively they really locked it down and played some good hockey that way. So those pieces come in. It's nice to see Simmer get his goal, and I feel like now there might be more to come after that one. But, you know, Boyle's been good. Granlund, it looks like he's coming into form. You know, these guys are all coming in, but it's the defense that matters.
Hal, we were very critical of this team throughout the regular season with the power play deficiencies. We tried to break it down and figure out what was the problem, but for the last 11 games, the power play is clicking at about a 24% rate. What have you seen over this sample size of games that makes you believe it's turned around long-term moving forward into the postseason?
I think probably a buy-in to what they have, to the personnel that they have. I think when you added Boyle and you added Simmonds, I think for the most part they did business as usual when they got here. Now they're starting to say, hey, we have these guys in front. Let's get it to the net. Let's go for it. They're not tinkering around looking for the perfect play. They're going and getting it to the net and firing it and chasing down rebounds, battling for pucks and doing all the little details on the power play that you need to be successful. So, they've had a couple big goals. They almost had a big comeback with the power play, and, you know, in a couple games, I think they've done their job. So it's coming around.
Hal, you got the Penguins tonight. We certainly know the history against this team from two Junes ago when they met in the Stanley Cup Finals. We know the obvious, you know, the Crosbys and the Malkins of the world, but what is there something under the radar or something that doesn't get enough attention with the Pittsburgh Penguins that makes this team so viable year in and year out?
It's all about – I know it's so – I hate doing it because I hate – relying on stars, but Crosby really, he pushes the team. He kind of put them on their back. He's having an MVP season, and he kind of carries them. And it allows, when he's going, it allows guys like Jake Gensel to come in and start doing their job. They just have, they're missing Malkin right now, but you look at Kessel, you look at other guys that step up and do their job and have that ability to score. And they are in every game, and then Crosby just puts them over the top. I hated saying it when I was playing, but when I was with Crosby, you'd sit back and say, "Hey, Sid, let's win this game for us," And he's a guy that can go out there and do it, and not just by what he does, but how he pushes other players on his team to perform.
When we look at postseason success overall for the Preds team, if they're going to win a cup. Obviously, everything has to be better. We know the power play has to work. The defense has to be a little bit better. Pekka's going to have to be consistent every single night. Secondary scoring, right? Like all the bullet points we talk about with the team. What's the one that would concern you the most out of all of those factors about a deep playoff run for the Predators?
The most concerning thing, and I think they're addressing it right now, last three games anyway, is their defensive side. I think if you want to win in the playoffs, you can't have a one-trick pony. You can't just rely on one thing. It's going to be the Jofa line might be the difference in a series, but then the next series, it might be the fourth line that changes the pace. It might be a Cody McLeod that gets in and goes heavy on the forecheck and bangs on the D that changes the series. And so, they're going to have to rely on their defense. The big four have to play great. Their power play is going to have to get a big goal. The penalty kill is going to have to do it. I think they have all those pieces. The big thing for me is defensive zone coverage, being able to use those guys in the neutral zone and lock down like they did against Toronto, lock down a team. When things aren't going their way, they have to play good defense, and that's what they've been addressing the last three games. So I'm optimistic.
All right, Skillsy, the constable, Chase McCabe, is going to be taking down a bracket to head coach Peter Laviolette. So we have to ask you, are you a one-bracket guy?
I'm ashamed to say, I love watching all these games, but I don't know anything about it. And so I'm sitting there when I'm doing a bracket, and I'm going, well, I assume the best team's going to win. And the second I stray from that, I end up picking a team that has no chance of winning. And so, I think it's dumb luck, and I love watching it because of the drama, but it always comes down to one shot at the end. So I don't tinker with it too much. I play the favorite. That's
right.
Weak.
We got you. Hal Gill, good stuff, Hal. We appreciate it.
All right. Anytime, guys.
There you go.
If Lavi's bracket does not have Tennessee beating Belmont in the national championship game.
Now, is this actually – Have we been given word, Chase? Or is this going to be something that actually gets posted?
Yeah. So we
can track it?
Yeah. I don't know if it'll get posted online. But, we'll be able to find out. We'll make the official picks during the break, and then I'll deliver it.
Yes.
Okay. There we go.
Very excited.
Very, very excited. Mm. Can't wait. Big finish. I'm excited for that because it means the end of the show. That's next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.